right. I've already very efficiently got a number of the wonderful young people up here with me who are singing. But if there are others who were not singing today but would like to join me up on the steps, I would invite you to come up now. There's plenty of room. And I've actually got some pictures to hand out. You want to come sit down? All right. So I'm going to back up here so people can see you. Do you want to look at your pictures? And those of you who can read can maybe read what's on them. We have baking powder, flour. We can say it's gluten-free flour so that Rev G can have some too. Yeah, okay, what else? We have some cocoa, right? Butter, eggs. We'll get there. We have somebody who's figured it out already. No, you're great. You've already answered. But so does anybody else have an idea what these might have in common? Yeah. Yeah, they're up for a recipe. Do we know what the recipe's for? A cake. Yes. So if we just looked at an individual item, if all you saw was the one thing that you're holding, you might not know what it was for because you can use them for multiple things. But they're all used in baking. Yes, that's right. And by putting them all together, we have a cake. And because we have cocoa, we can guess that maybe it's a chocolate cake. Do any of you like chocolate cake? Yeah, yeah, everybody likes it all right. What about a spoonful of raw flour? Has anyone tasted that? Yeah, it's maybe not the tastiest thing, right? If you had the choice between a piece of chocolate cake or a spoonful of flour, you'd probably go with the cake. Right? Yeah, not too risky. Or like vanilla. Vanilla, I think, is the most deceptive one because if you've ever smelled vanilla when you were baking, it smells really good, right? But if you taste it before it's in something, it doesn't taste all that good. So a lot of these things don't taste good by themselves, but if we put them together in a bowl and mix them up and pour them into pans and put them in the oven, we get a chocolate cake. And these different ingredients that go into baking a cake can teach us a lesson about the church. So in the church, we have a lot of different individual people who are different. So a lot of you probably like different things or are good at different things. And we wouldn't want everybody to be the same because that would be just a church that was like all flour or all eggs or all cocoa powder. But when we all work together and bring all of our different gifts and abilities and preferences, then we are able to do really amazing, delicious things. Unfortunately, sometimes we have a hard time doing this. It can be hard to get along with people. Sometimes we don't like what other people like. So in church, maybe not everybody likes the hymns we sing, or maybe not everybody likes what we have to eat at coffee hour, or maybe somebody doesn't like the lessons in Sunday school. I'm sure no one ever has complaints about the sermons. But it's okay not to like everything. That's the okay part. What we have to remember is that even when we don't like everything, we're still on the same team. We're still working together. We don't want to be like the individual ingredients of a cake. We want to be a delicious, fully mixed cake and enjoy the wonderful things that God has in store for us. So it's easy to think about the things that we want to have things our way, but that isn't what Jesus wants for us. In today's gospel, Jesus prayed that we would be united in our love for each other, that we would have love like Jesus' love that makes us think about what other people want and not just what we want. And makes us want to make sure that others know Jesus' love, even if it means not getting our way. Because it's only when we're working together that we can have this delicious result. Surprise, chocolate cake. Yeah, see? Chocolate cake. It's a pretty one, right? Yeah, I know it has like rainbow candies and pieces of chocolate. Even though it's a cartoon cake, I think it looks pretty tasty. Yeah. So will you say a prayer with me? Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to care for and look out for each other so that we can show the world your love. Amen. All right. Now you are welcome to go back to your seats, go back to your families. And while you're doing that, I have just a little bit for the grown-ups who've Already had one message, but a little extra. You can keep those, yes. You are welcome to. I know. You don't want a picture of flower to hang on your wall? So for the grown-ups, I think the cake image actually works pretty well for all of us, for grown-ups too. And, like, who doesn't like chocolate cake, right? Probably a few of you don't, but I would say if we took a poll, chocolate cake would win over nothing and certainly over a spoonful of flour. So Jesus' prayer for unity is a prayer for all of us, not just a prayer for the children. It's a prayer for all of us, and it isn't easy. I actually have a quote from St. John Chrysostom, who was a 4th century saint in the church. He said that the world could come to belief by observing the transformed lives of followers of Jesus. And he wrote, "How will the followers believe this? Because, Jesus says, you are a God of peace. And if, therefore, the disciples keep that same peace that they have learned from me, their hearers will know the teacher by the disciples. However, if they quarrel, people will deny that they are the disciples of a God of peace and will not allow that I, being peaceable, have been sent from you." The challenge of living faithfully as Christians is not just a call to personal goodness. It's a call to let our lives invite others to follow Jesus. And that's the message of today's gospel, though you may have to read it a few times to make sense of it. One of my colleagues who was also preaching this week said she couldn't get through the reading without getting "I am the walrus" stuck in her head, right? So we go through all this, "I'm in you and you're in me and we are all together." So it's not an easy passage, but what it's really saying is that Jesus is praying to God that we're able to live together in unity and godly love. I don't have all the answers for how we live together in peace and unity with each other. Sometimes the discord and division feel like too much. We can come part of the way by remembering, as I said to the kids, that we're on the same team, that ultimately we want the same things. And on a hyper-local level, I think this is important, especially at this time at St. John's, as we're preparing to call and welcome a new rector. While we don't always agree, and while trust is sometimes difficult, we are St. John's. And if we remember that we're a community, we can do amazing things together. But sometimes our divisions feel insurmountable. Just look at the political environment in our nation today. And at times like these, I think we can look to Jesus for how to respond and pray, as he did, that we might somehow be united in love and leave the rest in God's capable hands. Amen.